Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 112. We're doing this quick. We're actually in a fucking pub. A motherfucking pub. There's six of us. I don't know how we've done it. We've been in the sun in Chorlton, and by a miracle of circumstances, we've all got together and we've come indoors because it's so hot, and we've actually got six of us, while the ladies in some ancient Victorian... Right, Steve.
There's five of us, you dick and
fucker. Five of us. Right. Nathan, Nathan's just gone to the pub and found a pair of boxer shorts that just left bereft in the bog, so that means someone's shat themselves, but we're having a nice time. We've got a lot to get through in a short space of time. I'm not really going to mention last night, however pleasing. I didn't watch it, but the satisfaction that just the summer can swing on its world axis. For me, it wasn't about this doesn't show what United need to do. Just for me, they didn't do it. I'd thought it's inevitable for years and years they were going to do it. Massive question marks over Pep. How the fuck do you keep having such an appalling record? But that's, I don't really want to give them the credence, however much we're feeling like happier today. For my mind, it drags back to Wednesday. I always said Wednesday set the mood of the summer, and now it's angsty, and it's gone from we could have been happy, we are now very, very angsty. And I'm absolutely gutted. We had a nice time. I was gutted all day we weren't there, but then 12 of us met, two tables of six, and it turned into all right. We were in a pub in London. There was an atmosphere. People started singing, and they knew the words, and it turns out through drunk chats throughout the evening, a couple went, and it was like, this is all right, and I never seriously contemplated us losing. The whole day, it didn't even come. I just thought, this is inevitable. We are winning this. So it's massive. Now, I'll tell you what this does. There's the Knicks, who are massively ollieing. I think I've just... And I'm not saying his is irrational, but I've tried to be rational.
I'm not talking yet.
That, no, but the massive intro. That how does this leave him? And I always thought he needed this. Now, I'm wobbling. I don't want him gone, but he has to start the season well. I think this squad overachieved all summer. Unless we get massive free investment, this squad won't do as well next season. So I think he's immediately the breathing space. He's got it on him straight away. And he... Do you know what came to mind? And I've got to be honest with everyone. Do you know what came to mind when I woke up? Not just a hangover, not just absolutely gutted. I thought, he's a big game bottler. Ollie is a big game bottler. Because two things came to mind. We got every big detail, and we got every small detail wrong badly. From the substitutions that I could have bought a matter earlier for me. And for me, if I didn't realise till afterwards, De Gea has missed so many penalties, make the change. Be bold. You've got a goalie who saves penalties and a goalie who lets them in. And the last thing, he looked terrified from 50 minutes in. He didn't look emboldened by the occasion. He looked terrified. And we were saying this when we were drawing. Ollie looks frightened in the dugout. Now, for me, I'm not calling for him sacking. We've got to have 15 games in. But he immediately needs to bring experience into that dugout, because it's not going to happen unless he makes changes. What do you have to do? You have to be proactive to an event. Now, he said, I need to look back on this. He has to accept he made major failure. It's right, so I've got Steve, Nathan, Nick, Penn. Sorry, I had to get so much. I'm gutted. I was so gutted. Nick, go on.
I mean, we sat down on Wednesday. Me, Nathan and Ben watched it together on Wednesday night. And what Ben said to me on Wednesday before kickoff, and he said, it's 3 years boils down to this game. And I sat there for 90 minutes, and that didn't leave my head. I was panicking. And, you know, I've been massively pro Ollie, and I've made no secret about that. But I think I'm beyond wobbling now. I think Wednesday was inexcusable to lose a game that to a team that didn't even qualify for the Europa League next season. To play as badly as we did, to just not even have what? We had two shots on target for the whole game. It's embarrassing. It is. It's a lack of creativity. The team selection, I thought, was absolutely shocking. I thought, you've got Fred McTominay. I don't really like Fred. I know people here don't like Fred that much, but it's worked this season. It's got you to second in the league, and then to not play him, to put Rashford in the team, who, honestly, I just think he's been terrible over the last few weeks. How he could even get anywhere near that. And he just gave himself no option to bring anyone off the bench. It just looked like he thought, this is what I'm going to do from minute one, and let's see how it goes.
Can
and
you
he
knew it was going to...
it was going to fail.
We're not Fred fans, and this is almost like an after event, because you're not a Fred fan that you're going to say Fred plays. But how can Ollie, who is so defended in through shit, then he's his go-to man. He is absolutely on McFred. And then you don't play. It's like, did he back out the problem with Faith at the last minute, or did he...
I think it was, if you look at how defensive Villarreal were, I mean, it would have been madness to play Fred on McSomley. We just didn't, you know, we struggled to break them down as it was. So I don't think, I do think, to give Ollie some due, that was a tactical decision, in my opinion, that he looked at. And we've criticised him a lot for that this season, playing two holding midfielders in games when we never needed to, you know, home games against the likes of Fulham and teams like that. I personally think that's why he didn't select Fred.
This is the first time I've seen most of you for 15 months, isn't it? Hello, how are you, Steve?
I'm all right, thank you, Barnaby. How are you?
I'm baffled on so many areas.
I think, though, when that team come through...
Nothing offensive.
No, sorry, I won't say anything offensive. I just think when that team come through, I think it's the team that a lot of us wanted to start with, and I think hindsight's a great thing, and... Yeah, he didn't bring subs on like what you mentioned at the start. It's just massive question marks over our first choice 11. I don't think.
Yeah, but don't you think there's now massive question marks over Ollie?
Yeah, massively. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head about him being a big game bottler. I think there's just so many question marks over a lot of the players. I don't think anyone's genuinely happy with the 11 players that people consider to be our first choice 11. I think Ollie, he's very, very, very hit and miss. I think I don't think it does us any favours though to compare Ollie with Klopp and Pep Guardiola and a few other managers who are clearly a lot more tactically.
No, but I'm not, Steve. Like, the thing today, you know, Tuchel, a year ago everyone was saying he was a big game bottler. But it was interesting, someone's texted me, Frank Lampard is in charge of Chelsea to now, City would have won a quadruple. So there's obviously, Tuchel has got it in him. What I can't understand is, Ollie, two things. He said all along, it's progress. That's what we've all been saying, it's progress. But to get to progress, then you win on Wednesday, and you say the development is. You don't suddenly go fucking hurt into the sidings again and go, well, have we really? Because this is Seville again. So what did we learn from Seville to this in a year? What have we really done? We're harder to beat, yeah, but it's almost like, where's your plan B? How do we break these teams down?
The problem is, if you got rid of Ollie,
thank you.
He's ready made to sort of carry on what Ollie started. Do we start him again? Do we go for like a young manager from the German league?
Next manager is also going to be restricted. We all now met a big global team, you know, in terms of ambition, would go, well, this is the point you sign Kane, you get your world-class midfielder, you get your world-class defender. We ain't going to get three players like that in our quality. But I mean, there's so many aspects to this. Obviously, the Glazer infrastructure. But Ollie, Ollie has defended Lindelof. I could bully Lindelof in a game. Me, my fat, fucking balded, horrible person could bully Lindelof, and everyone watching it in the pub went, oh Vic, what you done again, mate?
Maguire plays and he's there. I still said to Nathan, I said Maguire plays, he's at left centre back for that game, he wins that header for the ball coming into the box. It's a fairly routine ball, isn't it? You say Ollie's a big game bottle, and to be fair, to an extent it probably has been there. Yeah, yes, I mean, he's gone away to City and he's still done stuff, and he's had a good away record at places like, you know, to still go to Anfield and Chelsea and get these results. It's like he's still got something in him, but that game on Wednesday was inexcusable, and he left himself with no plan B because he started Pogba, he started Rashford, and both of those shouldn't have started. I'm not, like I said, I don't, I looked at the team and my head had gone when I looked at the team sheet. I felt beaten. I looked at that 11 and I thought all the way through the day, and I agree with you, losing had never come into my head, but I saw the team sheet and I saw no Maguire and I saw the fact that we had no plan B to come off the bench. You knew full well what was going to happen, that it was going to go as way as it did. They could scab a goal and then we're coming back into the match. And that's exactly the way that it panned out. You could just see it so far away. And that's why Ole looked so worried for 50 minutes on, because he knew the same thing.
We have said over and over again.
But why doesn't he make the big decisions to drop Pogba and drop Rashford, because he wants to please them both?
I would have dropped Pogba, I'd have dropped Rashford.
He would know nowhere near being there. But do you know, you'd play Pogba on the left, where it's worked in Europe, and it's worked the season when he's played
there. Do you remember when Pogba was coming so far beat for some energy? And everyone was going, why are you so far beat? Now, for me, McTominay was the only positive, because I thought
but Tom ruined
Cavani as well.
But Tom and him,
but when Pogba is basically where Bally and Lindelof should be with the ball, we are fucking in trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's more the point, though, is that he needs to be further forward.
Yeah, but who's that decision come down to? It doesn't come down to Pogba. For all our... That comes down to Ole.
Yeah, I know that comes down. That's my point. That's my point, what I'm saying, is that he left himself with no plan B, where you should have brought one in a position where he brings off one of them off the bench. You know,
I don't want to wobble now, Nick. I had this in my
head. This is more than a wobble. There's no way in hell. Like, we go back to Stockholm, for example, and you know, the Ajax are probably a similar level to what Villarreal are. There's no way Mourinho was ever going to lose that game. To Stockholm and thought we were ever going to get beat there. You can set a team up in that way.
The difference is, I don't think Ajax ever set up in the way that Villarreal set up, and we know that our Achilles heel for the last three or four seasons is any team that sits back and is any way kind of organised.
That's why
we said before, Ben, when we were walking, very nice, sedate, you wouldn't imagine Chawton Woods. What did you say to me? He's watched us how many times?
Well, yeah, Emery apparently watched United 17 times before the game, so he's obviously quite early on anticipated us as being final opponents, and it's difficult to believe that anyone from United has watched Villarreal anything like that many times. So,
do you know what worried me though when you said that? It's that, and I'm being harsh after the event, so a lot of this, because I haven't talked United properly for 3 days, so it's very sore, so a lot of this might be, but I thought he's probably out of those 17 times thought 14 times, oh, I've got this, I'm confident going into this final. Now, the bit that gets me about the Ollie, the body language, I thought you're in a final, yes, you've scored in the European Cup final, you know what it's like, your chest out, and he looked a man who looks beaten in the bench again, and we've said about the body language. Yeah, but I don't care. But for me, the Europa League's massive. Nick, Wednesday was massive.
It was massive. I'm not saying it's not, but
a trophy.
Look at him in the Europa League. Imagine him in the Champions League. And this is the thing. And this is what happened against Leipzig, and this is why we ended up going out.
But things like people say, what subs could he make? But you don't know until after.
He could have brought Rashford off the bench. He must be energised. There's no way he should have started on Wednesday night. The moment I saw him start,
Barney just said there, though, what subs could he have made? And that is a huge issue. When you look at that bench, and yeah, he could have done something, he should have done something, but how many players off that bench did you really look at before we're going to change the game? You know, you look at the
That's because he put two players on the bench there that he could literally. Pogba's an impact player. He's been great when he comes off the bench for us, but you're playing because he's in better form than Rashford.
Who on that pitch?
Coming off the bench. Running at tight ends. We're trying to create something.
To break the team down, so basically we needed someone who's going to come on, an attacking player who's going to make a difference to the game. We all kind of heart whacked, and Mata can he can unlock a defence and stuff. But I mean, Mata's barely played all season.
No, but he did play. He played that last game, didn't he? And he looked good in that game.
He started the season quite well, and then obviously he's gone through a lot. But then Ollie didn't play him for. And I know, like Mata's. I'm talking about Mata now. Is about 20. We never saw the Chelsea matter. So no, Mata now is about 20%. But it's still like he'd offer something different. Yeah. So what have you got to lose? Because it's like I kept saying then, I did have suddenly a dawning that came into me 20 minutes to go, 10 minutes into extra time. I thought, fucking hell, don't play for penalties. This is Manchester United. We're shit at them. We could have fucking Michael in goal, Van der Sar. We're shit at penalties, lads. Bizarrely, we got them in. But it's like, does not anyone know what's happening here? Chain, come on.
Do something. But the thing is, the game was at a very slow pace. That's what I'm saying, that pace wasn't breaking down anyway through the game. You need something incisive. Well, ball into the box from someone like a Mata. Cavani gets his head on it. I'm making it sound simple, but football is a simple game. Why does it need to be that complicated? We can sit there, and we've got three of us sat there in the pub just going, got to change something.
I
can't carry on doing what's working.
You've got the mags today.
I'd rather have brought Mata on earlier than save the substitution and bring Telles on, because he can take a penalty.
Steve's just stormed off in a half. Oh no. And he'll come back. But the thing is, it's like, plug for the mag, sorry, in an opportune moment, but you finally got yours today because I wanted to save on the fucking postage. But someone wrote, all this United side is lacking, really, is quality. And I thought, how brutal a truth. We just lack quality. We've got heart. Okay, right, you carry on, you lot. I'm taking my boy toilet.
Nathan's not said anything, so I think Nathan needs a rant, and he can be his smug self and
there's nothing
on about.
No, but there's nothing to be smug about. And I wanted us to win the other night as much as anyone else did, and I generally thought that we were going to before, like everyone else has said, nothing passed through my mind to think that we weren't going to win. But substitutions, like, we can argue about the specifics, but Rashford was poor. Like, I don't want to get on his back, but he was poor, and for him not to be taken off and Greenwood to come off, things like that, it's poor decision making.
Poor decision making by someone who, and I'm starting to feel myself is not good. And I agree with Barney. I know, if he doesn't start the season off well, God help him. And the reason why we finished second this year is, let's face it, Liverpool have had a couple of key injuries, and if they were full strength, there's no way we would have finished.
You worry about next year now, because you look at Liverpool, can't be as bad again. You know, I think Liverpool have got a better squad than we have, and you know, Chelsea, on the back of winning the European Cup, you'd be amazed if they don't do better. So already, you know, it looks like two teams that finished below us.
But I mean, the thing is with City though, is they spent 100 million on two centre-halves last season. Nathan Ake sat on the bench all year. He got a bit of injury, fair enough, but he'd have played every game for us this season. Played every game. They signed Diaz for 60 million, spent 100 million on centre-halves. Chelsea spent 250 million last summer, and they both got to the final. And it, for us, we didn't do any business until we got beat 6-1 off Spurs. We're so reactionary, which is just painful to sit there and think, we would never have signed Cavani, we wouldn't have signed someone like Diallo if we hadn't even beaten 6-1 off Spurs. And that's where the transfer business goes back to. They spend 250 million and they're in a Champions League final. It's that simple.
City identified the positions they needed to strengthen, went out and did the business early. Liverpool signed a centre-half this day, but I don't think it... I know we were linked to that. Is it Upmanchenko? It's not. Is it his centre half partner?
Mikhailo, yeah, he's gone to Bayern. He went to Bayern months ago.
Right,
he's done and dusted like 3 months ago.
Yeah, he looked absolutely mustard.
Canate is a great defender who's going to Liverpool.
Then this goes to the greater truth. We can argue about the fucking deck chairs at the Titanic all day long, but we don't have a fucking ownership structure who go, you know what this United needs. And the mad thing is, after all that's happened with the protests and that, the one thing that you think they try and calm things down is they go, I'll spend 200 million, I'll just rob it off Avram's fucking ponytail account, but here's 200 million to appease them for a year or two, and then we'll milk them again. But they're not even going to be us doing that. We will spend, but it'll be slight. You know, the season's over. Bayern Munich, year in, year out, repeatedly get theirs fucking about a year in advance. That's what a well-run club does. But this is
I think the issue personally is not the amount of money they do or don't spend, because I think, you know, you look at Maguire for 80 million, for example, they have spent money, but it's spent in there's no strategy, there's no joined up thinking, because they're not really bothered about the success on the field. That's a by the by to them. You know, if we're in the Champions League every year, that's all they care about. So they'll throw money now and again at a certain player, but there's no kind of joined up thinking, there's no transfer strategy.
But the whole way along,
and then goes to the thing, went back to that LVG.
But let's be honest, that squad, that manager, that dugout should fucking win a Europa League final, and the fact we haven't is I can't say, like John, he just got up and left as soon as the penalty, and I was almost like, I can't compute this, because this hasn't even come into... And it wasn't an arrogance, but it was like, as we were saying, they finished seventh in La Liga. We got beat by the fourth team last year, a year ago, and you think, fool, we've progressed. We've been saying it, we've progressed. We're all right now,
I don't,
but
like,
we're fucking not.
I'm not trying to say, I told you so, but I did
but
say...
But
I did say, when we spoke before, that I was worried about momentum going into the game, because we slacked off so much in those last three games, because we'd got top four, or we'd guaranteed second. We need to still be... We need to go into these games winning games, so that we have that motion of winning games. And top managers will do that. I know that Klopp throws away the FA Cup and stuff, But Pep will always go and try and win every single game, no matter what game it is. And I know in hindsight he's got a better squad and he can play his second string and it's still good.
By the way, but he didn't win the Champions League final.
But
just on that though, like, but, I know Ollie carries the can because he's the manager, but who else is there to help him make decisions? He's like a bench full of so-called
experts.
That's
what I'm saying.
You've got Mickey Phelan sat there. He's done it before. You've got
Mickey
Michael Carrick.
He won the last two titles on his own.
So he says. But where are they guiding Ollie? Where are they offering advice? We can all see that Rashford had a poor game on Wednesday night. Where's someone saying, do you know what, boss? Pull him off and stick that young lad up, or whatever. Who's helping him make these decisions? Because Ollie's carrying the cap. But what are they all doing to justify their wages? But that's
what I've said. The first thing that Ollie should do this summer, he's got to bring someone experienced, whether it challenges him.
Steve Round.
I was thinking Jimmy Lund. But you know what I mean? Like, Newcastle fans hated it, but they bought in, like, almost. They changed the structure about 15 games to go, didn't they? And Bruce got in and a bloke he didn't really want in. But it fucking worked. The doom has come back. The squad isn't good enough.
You're having a lovely time in the sun.
But that's what every time you're in. But I will say, I agree with Nathan. We did all about momentum. But if he hadn't have fucking played Maguire 58 times, and this is if we're going full, if he hadn't have played Rashford 60 times in the season and rested him when we were playing the likes of fucking earlier, you know, where games that didn't matter.
Yeah,
Leicester was a sore, but
we all said Nathan, to be fair, said
when we played, I think it was Sociedad in the second leg, we were 4-0 up and he starts Fernandes and he played for 75 minutes. I mean, they're the kind of games where Fernandes is, and he looked dead on his feet in the final
for about 2 months.
He's the kind of player you need to be fresh in that kind of game, because, you know, if we're talking about someone who can just have a moment of magic to unlock a defence and spark something, that's him. But he just didn't have anything left, did he, on Wednesday?
I'll tell you what, mate, when United do that play out of the attack, we had that when we played City in the League Cup with Phil Jones, but when United do that play out from the back and Bally was passing it to Lindelof, I thought we may as well walk out the door here.
Funny. Four or five passes to each other, and there was no. There was like, I don't want to pass it forward. No, I don't want to pass it forward. But that's embarrassing, though. But because we still need a fucking centre half.
The danger that we're going to have as well in a few more years, I think, with Harry Kane, we're all having discussions like, we presume he's moving this summer, and we've had conversations like, would he go to City? Would he come to United? And the general consensus is that Harry Kane deserves to move from Tottenham to go and win trophies at the age of, 27, 28. Well, does that apply to Bruno Fernandes? Does that apply to...
I've said that before.
I think the Pogba thing could rewrite.
I mean, the only difference, I suppose, is Fernandes has only been with us a season and a half. But the point's fair. I mean, we said, didn't we, the other day, if you were Harry Kane, realistically, as much as it kills me to say this, you're leaving Tottenham to win trophies, are you going to come to United over City? Of course you're not.
But I tell you what,
the comparison with Harry Kane this season is us when we signed Van Persie. He wanted to leave where he's been for years and make a massive move that was going to burn all bridges with the club that he was at, but he wanted to win the league.
But also,
so Harry Kane, if he's going to really leave Spurs to do that, why would it? There's as much risk coming to us to win the league as there is in staying at Spurs.
But the thing is, Fergie offered him
and
Ollie will go, but come with me and we'll lose to Chelsea.
Harry Kane has no guarantee that he's going to win something with us.
It's a great signing for us, and we know he fits the bill. But it's like, the thing is that it can't just be just him, like it was just Van Persie that summer. It's still the spine of the team, it's still a centre midfielder. Tielemans and Didi. Someone from like that, from Leicester. They're not on the shop this summer, then fuck.
I'm being a bit controversial. I have backed Aaron Wan-Bissaka a long, long time, and Nathan gave a sex noise when he made that tackle against Everton when we were at a game. But for me, he did, and this, you could say this nearly every time he plays, he didn't do anything wrong, but fuck me, he didn't do much right on Wednesday. He's just like Trippier. I'd
he's not coming. He's not coming in any way, shape, or form. Because my mate, my mate played football with him at school. He still texts him. I've seen the text messages. He said, I'm not coming. He's using it as a tactic to get a new deal at Atletico. He's not coming.
Well, that's what I mean. You look, but Wan-Bissaka, you know, we're just not. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair, but where the attacking
is not the issue. No, I still don't think that
he's one of the issues. He was one of the issues on Wednesday that aren't the issue.
There's so many players that we've all got certain concerns about. Like, there's
fucking hell. We've all got that start. You go through that starting 11, and you've got you start off with a keeper. Fuck my life to not get near one of 11 penalties. I mean, he looks like he can't even. He's never been in goal before.
40. One of the last
41. 41 penalties. But the fact is, though, is that he didn't look like he got near any of them.
I thought he'd saved one.
The thing is with him, you would think so. Is that any five of us sat around this table right now couldn't have had a worse penalty shootout than what he'd had? Because we all would have looked like so fucking.
I would
be
asked.
He'd just
seal
around.
There's no way you could have had a worse penalty shootout than what he had. It's not physically possible.
No.
You could have put a 90-year-old man in the sticks. He wouldn't have had a worse penalty shootout. It's embarrassing.
That Van Gaal for Holland.
Ever seen from a keeper.
If I didn't know that stat, then it's almost a no-brainer.
He must save penalties in training. Must be doing. Because all they must be thinking, there's a possibility of penalties. They must fucking practice them, surely.
I think in training, Ollie and Feeder get them sat down and tell them stories about Fergie's United for about a couple of hours and just go,
he must have sat there, there was this time.
I bet Mickey Phelan sits him down and tells him, like, through his beauty regime. I bet he has his, like, balls waxed and his ass waxed a lot. I bet
in 99 we did this, lads, and in 93 we did this, lads, and someone's going, are we going to learn anything new? No, but let's go over 94, 95
ones. It's like the weird supply teacher at school who you could just get, like, off topic by talking about the war or something like that.
That's Steve, you usually lift the mood, but I am massively, massively concerned. This squad can't go as high as now, and we've got to start the season. So lift my spirits, baby, because I was heartbroken Wednesday night, Thursday. Well, I spent the whole journey home just going, fuck them.
I know we got the video. I've got video evidence of that.
I was so gutted.
That was the worst I felt since we lost to Barcelona at Wembley in 2011. And I knew we were going to lose that game, but it's still the Champions League final, I still feel that I played it. That on Wednesday, that really. I just fucking picked the stuff up and walked out, you know.
I texted you, didn't I, saying Nick just left.
I only stayed
because Shane on the podcast got double amaretti's and half the things had fuck off, so I thought, well, they've gone, I've got another one here. So I reckon I had two or three. Cheers, Shane. I don't know, I'm just Nick, I mean, to see you, bro. I mean, it really upsets me.
I am, and the thing is, the worst thing about it is I've been saying, like, this will be right. That was his moment, that was the Rotterdam, that was the 1990 FA Cup final. And to throw it away against a team that aren't good enough to qualify for the Europa League, the very tournament that we're in the final of. And then they're now in the Champions League, the fucking system's shite. But it's just utterly embarrassing. It really, really, really is. The team selection pissed me off. And it just shows, it's like, it's weak management, it's bad management, and my head has gone about it all completely in that one game. That was his moment to do it, as Ben said on Wednesday. It's his moment to prove everything, to prove all the doubters wrong, and it cuts me deep because I'm more than wobbling. I'm more closer to wanting him out than wanting him in after that game, and I still mean that. It really upset me on Thursday morning at work. And as I always say, I work with so many blues. Thursday was hard in work. Fucking hell.
It'd be a lot easier on Tuesday though when I go back in.
When I've got a goal of Brandtay banners everywhere.
Don't get me wrong, that realigns the axis, but it's like it shouldn't be an either or. But thank God, and the delight, and not watching it, but just, and I will say, my man of the season, we'll do this in the next few, is Hacienda Apartments, the Red, who at the end of the game was just, it might be one of you listening, banging pots, going, fuck off City, for about an hour and a half. You told me the result, because I heard a cheer and thought, oh, that's it. But no, there's not that many. And you cheered Chelsea's goal, and I knew by you. And then were you on the roof?
just banging going F off the whole time. You're my hero because you were just brilliant. I was listening going, that man,
if anybody knows,
but there
man.
Are Reds, there's a couple of listeners who said we feel bad they now have to stay indoors for another,
I think,
6 days because they went to Poland.
One of the funny things was, as I said, yeah, that's really bad to be fair. And credit to every single person who made the journey.
The ones but who got stopped as well, Jack,
yeah, which
and his
was
mate.
Bad, yeah.
23
yeah.
of them didn't get home until the Saturday morning. Was
they got to do another week and get home as well.
Surely quarantine will fucking give an exemption. Sorry, Harry.
Why can't you say words right? Why do you say quarantine?
Did I?
Quarantine's yes. not a word. You keep saying Ollie when it's Ole. You know, it's like, and who did you say before you got that
Ballet.
One? Ballet? Who the fuck is Ballet? Do you know what I mean?
He said Pharaoh. What is it, Pharaoh or Pharaoh?
It's for Portugal. As in the Portuguese.
I'm just Pharaoh.
I'm just
Pharaoh. In the Algarve,
yeah,
Pharaoh.
Come on, Steve, lift my spirits, mate.
What would you like to say?
Nothing that doesn't need an edit.
Tell us we're going to win the treble next year, Steve.
Well, I told you that last year.
You told us we'd win the league 2 years ago, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I got a bit excited.
Today, first podcast of the season every year, Steve says we're going to win the league.
Well, that's all you've got to go into, isn't
do
it?
Do you really think so? Yeah.
Not now.
What do we need to do to win the league next year?
Everything. Sign about 6 players.
Manager.
Everything.
Ask the manager to give us all a ring before he does out stupid.
The problem I've got to go in the opposite way from trying to put a positive spin on it is I think Gary Neville's talked about how unpredictable United are. So we've had this brilliant record this season of winning, you know, or being unbeaten all season away from home. And that's great. Can anyone see us doing that again
no,
next season?
I mean. We
so we've,
de-
we've therefore
season.
Got to eradicate all the goalless draws and all of the defeats at home. You know, to equal
yeah,
out
ben,
the fact we're probably
that?
Not going to go and beat
if
away.
If we overachieved and ultimately ended up with fuck all,
yeah.
Now
well,
that
is quite
we've overachieved in the league,
but I think
we've overachieved.
It well, I mean, at the end of the day, though, to be fair, the league table doesn't lie, doesn't it? We have been the second best team.
Only because Liverpool have had injuries.
Doesn't matter though. We have been the second best team.
Do you really care that we're the second best team in the league?
No, but it is progress on last year, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to be, if you're going to just solely,
that's the only reason why.
If you're going to be totally objective about it, last season we came third, we got to a semi-final. This season we came second and got to a final. It's not enough progress in our
sorry,
eyes.
So you're telling me next year we'll win the treble first, the final.
I've somehow ended up putting a positive spin off things.
But at least he's got the semi-final bug off his
back. Can I tell you my biggest concern? Can I tell you my biggest concern?
What scenario's got a final?
Well, yeah, but I'm listening to Ben.
My biggest concern is, you always talk, don't you, like, about the spine of a football team being a goalkeeper, a centre half, a centre midfielder, a centre forward. We're short of all those players. Honestly, we have.
That's not a positive spin, Ben.
No, my positive spin was because we went from third to second. It's a final next year. We're going to go second to first and win a trophy.
Right,
but the problem is, we've got to sort those four positions out.
I'm
first.
Also positive. How nice is it to be in a pub holding hands? We're not holding hands. If we were, it'd be lovely.
Who's holding my hand?
It'd be great if the kids were
that's not my hand.
Putting handcuffs on me every 5 minutes.
It's usually bad.
I am actually wearing handcuffs for the benefit of the listeners.
But how nice to see people in a please let it last. I don't know, go on. Nick, you can't be.
I can be. My head is nearly and ready fully to fall off. Because that, whatever you say, however you skin it, is completely unacceptable to have lost that final under any circumstances.
But you see that
and to look worried after 50 minutes.
Everything came down to that game. Now everything. With all the mood, and it wouldn't be Ollie out, it would be, no, you know what, he's won a trophy, let's see. And now the pressure for next season.
That's unbelievable.
And he did 2 years, was it 2 summers ago, got the mood. And he's going to need every iota to get the mood. I mean, because there isn't even, pre-season's apparently Malta, let's all go Malta. And a training camp.
Don't they have monkeys in Malta?
No, that's Gibraltar.
What's in Malta then?
Stone, no beaches.
Bad?
Yeah, loads. I mean, Oliver
nice.
Reed died.
I'd do that.
Oliver Reed died in one.
We might even go for the pre-season.
Let's go
then. But you know, like, so
there's nothing you can say that picks the mood up for this podcast apart from sitting up with
it.
And as we said, what would you rather have? Would you rather have United win the Europa League and City win the Champions League, or
United,
us win
all
neither?
I care about really is United.
I'd have picked neither.
No, all I care about is United winning. All I care about is United winning.
I really
because we're running out of time here.
So sorry for everyone listening. Life's shit. We're all going to die soon.
Basically, Barney told us when the pandemic started that none of us would survive it. And here we all are 15 months later sat in a pub in Chorlton, so you know.
Yeah.
It's not always right.
Chilton's lovely.
And then Steve said we win the treble, so it's really contrasting opinions at this table.
And now you've abused me for the way I say things.
You say I'm right.
It's like American Pie. We've done a dreadful. We started these podcasts during the worst time for United when we're on the shit. But I asked her for some happy news. And she just smiled and turned away. The Europa League just spat us out, didn't it? But give us what, take away. That is football fan. That's what it's all about, winning and losing. But it really hurt. It wound me up that someone on Thursday went, it's only the Europa League. If you've got that attitude, if you're only counting the Champions League and the league, we are in for a fucking very, very long, because we're at the second table, whether you like it or not.
Can I ask a question? What is that? Because Ben said this before when Havertz scored for Chelsea yesterday. What's the biggest non-United goal you've ever celebrated in your life?
I think mine was yesterday.
That was second. I still think Bale's overhead kick against the Scousers in Kiev.
Watch either of those. I can't refute that. It's the fear of... No, I've not.
I thought that'd be a good question.
The fear of... Steve told me. Steve was one of those telling me both results. I don't watch other. I can't be doing with it.
So you died a non-United goal you never celebrated.
Yeah. Anyway, we need to finish on a high because show around by
it. It is.
So that's a positive.
We're going to do
another positive.
We're going to do highs. I was like pleased for McTominay because he's taken a sit. And I tell you what, I thought a couple of times, I mentioned Barcelona a few years back, McTominay has it in him to be a really good player. And on nights, but you've got to do it all the time, and we're a bitty team. Some players do it here one game, they don't do it the next.
My biggest issue with United is you just use the word bitty there. It's the inconsistency. I mean, there's been some really good performances under Ollie's reign. This season, Tottenham away was fantastic, City away, PSG away twice. So we can do it. But I remember Nick saying to us when he was still Ollie in, back in the day. After the Tottenham
fucking
game.
Tank,
I said bubbling.
Fucking
I said
tank.
I believe was the word I used.
After the Tottenham game, he slated us all, why? The problem is, those performances like that, they're so few and far between. For me, that's the issue. There's been, he's proved he can do it on occasion.
But has to go 1-0 down.
The two Champions League finalists last night, Tuchel and Pep Guardiola, he's beaten them both this season away from home. Turgid performances in between.
The main thing is,
we should be playing well. 9 times out of 10. Yeah. Not one time out of 10.
I thought when I was almost heartbroken thinking, fuck them on the train, is that this is a season where we won 9-0 and I thought, they'll never take that off. He's got a record there.
That's my biggest disappointment of the season, by the way.
We weren't there.
That we didn't score 10.
Oh, yeah.
Because we already had our record.
We often score 6.
What's the point of equal the record that you've already got?
You're like my mate's dad, who when we beat Ipswich went, did you enjoy that? No, because I never see 10.
That's because it's seldom.
I was at the Ipswich game, but I felt like even worse against Southampton. It's our own record. What's the fucking point?
Ben,
you might as well just score 8.
That is why.
Jesus,
you know.
That
is a typical United. This is a season where we've had highs, but ultimately you get remembered for that last fucking kick in the bollocks.
Of course you do. And as we said at the very start of that game, it was all going to come down. Maybe not his whole 3 years, but certainly the season. Whether you could define this season as a good one or a bad one.
Yeah.
Basically came down to that game.
Anyway, at least
second, the game. Second was okay. Second in the trophy is a good season.
At least, as someone ends in the mag, Eric Bailly got a new deal. Phil Jones is still here for another 2 years. We'll get Jesse Lingard and Andres Pereira back in a couple of weeks. Happy days.
Go on,
right,
on that note,
I'm going to
the chair off my son, who's waving it around in a pub.
So, to be fair, that's the spine of the team as well. You're getting back there with Jones, Pereira, Lingard.
Go on, Steve. Are you having another?
Please, yeah. I do need to drive.
I love you all.
Lauren needs to
drive. You're not driving. Don't fucking say that we're not an alcoholic.
Trying to drive my car. Should we go in your car today? No, Lauren.
I love it, Ryan. lots of people say, keep the faith. Keep the faith.
Just say the cheers, lads. Come through on. The new mag. It looks absolutely fantastic.
Can I get the last word to my daughter? Paula, come here. Come here. Like, you are the problem, because since you've been born, you've not won a trophy. So, is there anything you'd like to say? Who are Cantona? Awkward as ever. That's all on earth.
That'll make me sadder if we start thinking about Cantona days. Right, Albert. Who's the yucky team?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Love you all.
Cheers, mate.
See you later.